Welcome to the Entrepreneur Organization Business Podcast. I am your host, Lynn Panetti. My guest today is Rob Roy Rankin from EO Melbourne, who joined EO over 5 years ago and is also the founder of Rankin Business Lawyers, a B Corp certified virtual law firm with a primary purpose to be a force for good. Rankin Business Lawyers was built on the principle that by creating an amazing experience for our lawyers, they will in turn provide an outstanding experience for our clients. In this episode, Rob shares insights into the challenges of scaling his business to a larger team and the struggle of finding senior executives to support his growth, lessons he's learned about managing people, and much more. Let's join me in welcoming Rob. Hey, Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lynn. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well. And always great to meet another Melburnian. I was an ex-Melburnian, always missing Melbourne. Love to get the audience to learn a little bit about, you know, your journey through how you started your own lawyer business.
Yeah, sure. Years ago, I was a partner in a traditional law firm, and that included all the accoutrements, charcoal suits, beige partitions, black European sedans, it was a very conservative sort of environment. And while we were a successful business, I didn't feel it really reflected me or my values specifically. So I went out on my own, started Rankin Business Lawyers. And I really had this idea of, making better use of technology. So think back 10 years, Office 365 had just gone to the cloud. Laptops, mobile phones, that sort of technology had, decent battery life. You could make it through a day. I really enjoy getting to know my clients by going out to their business, going to the factory, going to the retail shop, going to their office and really, understanding how they work. So I could do all of that. So I changed up, did that. We changed a few things about how we, the service offering, the way we priced our services and gone from there. So we've just gone 10 years.
So 10 years ago that you started this, so what are the specific, services that you offer or the topics that you cover in law?
Yeah, sure. So we call ourselves business lawyers and what we offer effectively is a range of legal services for business. And we think that range is pretty comprehensive for the non-lawyers out there. It's often just contracts and that's all people need to know. But we've got a type of specialists in all areas for business. So we do things like, tax advice, restructuring, mergers and acquisitions, bespoke areas like employment law, intellectual property disputes, commercial leasing, whole host of things, regulatory advice in a range of industries. Yeah. So if someone's in business and they got a legal problem, we like to think that we can find the answer.
Yeah. Well, with your years of experience in law, I'd love to hear a little bit of an insight. Like, for my size of business, I feel like I've only used a lawyer maybe twice. Once is like creating an agreement the terms and condition. I wanted someone to look over. And other than that, I can't remember much of the other time that I had to use a lawyer. But as the business grew, what can we expect when it comes to law? Like, how much involvement and help do we need from a lawyer as our business scale?
Yeah, sure. And it's certainly the case, I think, that for, early stage, smaller businesses, you need to be really strategic about, where you spend your money. And there's lots of, there's lots of avenues for information and advice these days. On the internet, you can learn a lot about a business's legal needs and cover off some things. Where we provide, I think, the best value for smaller and early stage businesses is helping them understand the risks they're taking. So someone says, we don't really have, budget to gather a shareholder agreement or a partnership agreement at this stage of our business. Like, that's fine. You don't have to do everything yesterday, but as long as you're on risk and you're like, okay, well, if that's going to cost us X dollars, we can budget for that. And when we hit this milestone or that milestone, then we know, all right, that's when we need to spend the money or that's what we need to do. A lot of our clients, the best use they can make of a lawyer is when the business is growing. So, for example, in the employment space, if you're employing one or two people, you might have a really close personal relationship with them and you can govern a lot of the risk or manage a lot of the risk with the relationship. You look them in the eye, you know what's going on in their lives. And, you know, if they're not happy. But once you have 10, 15, 25 employees, you can't manage that risk personally. You really do need systems and processes in place. And that's when it's really valuable to have, you know, formal written contracts and policies and procedures. And that's, an example of how we can help. Other areas, you know, again, early stage businesses, if they have valuable intellectual property, might be helping them with, you know, small jobs like, you know, registering a trademark to protect their brand, or you mentioned terms and conditions, those sorts of contracts, supply agreements, you know, they don't cost a lot of money. And to make sure that your business is off on the right foot, they're sort of key areas.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you love technology, and as we know, AI is becoming more popular, and you even said, like, you know, you can almost just search for things like, you know, what is it nowadays that, you know, let's say I want to do something, I can search on AI and it gives me all the terms, you know, is legal to be copying that and using it as an agreement, or do you really still need a lawyer? Like, what is the impact if you were just relying on sources out there versus using a lawyer?
We've played around with ChatGPT to, you know, to do some contract drafting and document review stuff, and, you know, it is amazing technology, but, you know, cutting and pasting contracts is, you know, I think a tradition as old as time in business, and it's new technology just makes it, you know, perhaps faster and easier. The risks with doing that are, you know, there are certainly general terms and conditions that apply across a whole range of businesses, but unless you have specific advice or understanding of how they work in the contractual relationship you have with your clients or your suppliers, then yeah, there is always a risk. The other thing that I'm always keen to point out to clients and prospective clients is if you do that sort of thing yourself and you muck it up, then, you know, it's on you, and the cost to the business can be catastrophic. With a lawyer or an accountant or a professional advisor, not only do you get the job done properly, so professional indemnity insurance to back it up. So, it's really about risk management. And if you have high risk tolerance, then it's ChatGPT all the way. But if you want to be a little careful, and, you know, you're really building something substantial and to last, and you've got a range of stakeholders, then you really do need to look at, formalizing things, and you do need lawyers to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I also feel like, you know, with your experience working with so many different people, you can pretty much tell us, you know, if you don't do this, this might happen, and this has happened in the past with someone else. And so with all that understanding, it helps you to actually develop, you know, the right legal document that is going to be more applicable and make sense for you, right? Like, especially, like, I've been talking to your lawyer, talking about shareholders, and I'm kind of like, you know, I don't know what I don't know. And when they started telling me that, you know, you need to think about this, you need to think about that, and you're like, oh my God, I definitely need, you know, to seek legal advice like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're dealing with professionals who are looking at these sorts of situations and risks and opportunities all of the time, then they're going to have a broader perspective. They're going to bring a level of objectivity and hopefully, experience as well.
So, yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing a little bit about your business. I would love to go now deep dive into your own business. Yeah, as you scaled, what were some of the war stories or challenges that you faced?
Yep, sure. So probably two key challenges over the years. Scaling professional services, I think, is very difficult to do. If we, you know, niche down to one product and implemented a lot of technology and systems, then that would probably be a better business to scale. But as a boutique service offering of a wide range of legal services, we really rely on people. And anytime you're trying to scale with people, it's tricky. What we've found over the journey is at our peak, we had 36 full-time employees, and I had aspirations to have a lot more. Once I had 36, my only aspiration was to have a lot less. I found the management side of that, really, really too onerous. For me personally, I did try, and we'll talk a little bit later about, bringing in external managers and trying to get someone else to run the business for me. But one of the other effects of the business growing was, we saw productivity drop off fairly significantly. So keeping a larger team constantly, motivated and at a high work rate, was quite difficult. It's much easier to do that with, three or four people that you're close with. Now we have more of a hybrid model. We've got a dozen full-time employees, and we use a range of contractors to bring some of the, less frequently used expertise into the firm. And that's working reasonably well for us. But I'd say over the 10 years, each time we've tried to grow, we've tried to tweak things and do things a little bit differently. And we've always had those challenges.
Mm. So looking back at that time when you did have, that many staff and things weren't as efficient and productive. So what did you learn from it? What were some of the key takeaway that you could give to someone if they were, growing their team to that size?
I guess one of my key takeaways, which, something I've continued to learn throughout my business career, is that I'm really good at some things and not so great at others. I would rate myself as an average people manager. I think I can do an all right job. And when I focus on it, I'm all right. But it's not something that comes naturally to me. And, I really struggled as headcount grew. And the other challenge that sort of came with that was then trying to find someone to take that role as senior management in the business. If it's not you, you need really great communication with that person or that role if you're going to succeed.
So then you're aware that your weakness is in the people management side. So what was your strength and what did you prefer to do as a CEO or the owner of the business?
Yeah, sure. So I think I've got two things. One is business development. So I've got a genuine curiosity about business and the challenges that businesses face. So I love meeting business owners, talking to them about what they do, how they turn widgets into dollars. And always fascinated. And I think it's not difficult from that perspective to genuinely want to help. So from a business development perspective, I've always been good at relationships, communicating how we can be of assistance and doing that. The other thing that I'm good at is I'm a great problem solver and, bring a level of creativity and, sort of proactiveness to problem solving. There are a lot of lawyers out there, in my experience, who will happily quietly restate the law to you, but they're not always doing that for a client in a commercial context or giving a strong opinion. It's like, oh, it could be a little bit like this or a little bit like that. And I know as a business owner, that's not always the most helpful advice. So I think, being solutions focused and really understanding our clients, they're not interested in the academic side of law or the interesting questions. They're interested in practical solutions and recommendations that they can move forward with.
Yeah, that's really clear. Yeah, it's always good to have our own clarity on what we like to do, what we're good at versus what we don't. So when you mentioned that you didn't like that part and you wanted to hire some senior executives to come in and help, like how did that go and what did you learn from all that?
Yep, I think I've mentioned to you before, Lynn, we haven't had amazing success with that role. Over the last 6 years now, we've had three attempts at bringing in a general manager to the practice. And each time we've tried something a little bit different. We've tried a more sort of operationally focused role and then a more people focus role. I haven't managed to crack it. Anyone who's tried to bring senior leadership into their business before knows that it is a big challenge, and it's always expensive, disruptive, and if it's not working, then it can have a big impact on your business. So each time, we've decided that this wasn't a great fit, time to change it up again, then there's a period of time to reset and rebuild and all that sort of thing. So for me, it's just been a matter of not finding the right person, in some sense the search continues, but what we're doing in the meantime is really looking internally and seeing what opportunities there are to bring people up into more senior leadership roles.
Okay, so tell me more about that. So is it you working with your existing team members who's been with you for you know, how long? Like, how do you know they are the ones that are, could potentially be in that role?
It's not always so much the amount of time, although some of the team have been here a long time. It's about people who are, I guess, interested in moving into that sort of role. A lot of lawyers are very happy being lawyers, and they want to read contracts and write contracts all day, and not so interested in playing a larger role in the business. So it's about finding people who are interested in doing that, in stepping up, and who've demonstrated a proclivity to doing that sort of thing well. So
what was your first step in, you know, approaching that? Like, did you pick one or two people that you found that were, that had the potential, and then you had that conversation, and then, like, what is the journey like so far? Is there, like, some sort of leadership program training you're putting them through, or how are you approaching it in your business?
Yeah, sure. So it's still early stages for us at the moment. So it is around conversations and, you know, trying to make sure that there's clarity on both sides of what the opportunity might be, what the expectations might be. There'll definitely be a need for some particular training and development in those areas. I've always put a high value on loyalty. We're a generous employer, and for the right team members who want to contribute more, we're always happy to give more. Looking over the years, we've developed a employee equity scheme and tried to provide opportunities for people who want to advance or develop. One of our success stories, one of the admin team has done a law degree during her tenure here, and is now working she's been a lawyer for a few years now. So, moving into a much more senior role, and that's just great to see, your people develop, embrace the challenges and, new opportunities.
Yeah. So I can see that you've tried to hire a senior executive and it hasn't worked. So maybe we can deep dive and hear from you, maybe some of the learnings or like things to look out for when you're hiring so that we don't make the same mistake.
Yeah, sure. Probably the biggest mistake I made on two of the three occasions was waiting too long to try and shake things up. I think the first person we had in the role, I didn't have a lot of clarity around exactly how it was going to work. So we were conscious of that at the time, and we'd also known each other before working together. So I'd consulted with that person before, and they were from industry as well. So they'd been senior leadership in law firms before as well. It wasn't until we were a good, 18 months in that we, really sat down and looked at what wasn't working. And I think if we'd done that earlier, we could have been more proactive and maybe given ourselves a better chance. The most recent attempt at, bringing in external firm manager, similarly, even though I think we did a much better job, when things weren't going well, I didn't listen to my gut early enough and respond quickly enough. And so it did drag on longer than it should have. And, the relationship suffered a bit because of that. I think if I'd been quicker and clearer, then it would have been a more positive outcome.
Yeah. So what was holding you back from kind of confronting the situation earlier, and you waited for too long? Was it the relationship that you've had and was too lenient because of that friendship you had before? Or what was it, the reason why you hesitated?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a host of things, but one of the key ones, I think, is my optimism. I'm always hopeful that, things will around, or the next thing we try will fix things. Also, I've been employing people for 15 years, and I'd like to think now I'm better than I used to be, but there's that saying, hire slow and fire fast. I think that works at all levels of employee relationships. You don't necessarily have to, fire people quickly, but you do need to tell them quickly if you're not happy. And what's the Brené Brown line? Clear is kind. So making sure that everyone knows exactly where they stand at all times is really helpful. So it's very easy for, I think, senior people in an organization and people working in their teams to have different assumptions or different ideas about exactly what's going on. And if it's, if it's not all out on the table, then, people might think they have different problems or not know there's a problem. So yeah, that clarity in communication early is key.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a people game. It's so hard. It's you know, you only find out until you've actually worked together. And, you know, that same person who could be great somewhere else might not be great here because they're also working with you who are different. The dynamic of the business is different. So, yes, so good luck to finding that future person. Hopefully it's someone within. Looking back at your 10 years, you know, what was your goal for starting the business, and has that goal changed, or have you reached that goal? You know, for me, I started the business wanting freedom because I wanted to take care of my son. And, you know, I guess I'm glad now that I've been able to build a lifestyle business that I can travel, I can do all that. And so I'd love to hear kind of your definition of success back then, and where is it now, and, you know, what's the future for you?
Yep, sure. Similarly, when I started my own business, it was a lot of my goals were around, you know, flexibility and autonomy. One of the key differences between this business and my former partnership was, we didn't have a bricks and mortar office. So we were a virtual workplace 10 years ago. So COVID ready for 6 years, which is great. I have a young family, and having the opportunity to, you know, do school drop-offs and pick up and reading groups and all that sort of thing was really important to me. And the business has definitely delivered that. The other thing is, you know, there are some things I love doing in my business and other things I don't like so much. And I think I've done a pretty good job of doing the stuff that I really like and finding other people to do the stuff I don't like and finding people who like that stuff. So, you know, there's different strokes for different folks. And if you don't like combing through spreadsheets, there's plenty of people who do. So, building a team where I get to play to my strengths and do the sort of work that I want to do. Is another benefit. How things change, I don't think things change fundamentally, other than what I said earlier in the conversation, that at one point, you know, we had aspirations to grow significantly. I had a goal 1 year of 100 lawyers, and I was like, okay, that's what we're going to do. But I think in hindsight, that was a naive and ultimately the wrong goal. And now I definitely don't want 100 lawyers because I'm clear about what that entails. For a period in sort of 3 or 4 years into the business, that I was like, okay, let's just grow and acquire a few businesses and make that our ultimate aspiration. There's always tensions and compromises, and we decided we didn't want to make the compromises that you need to make to build a business like that.
Yeah. So what's your goal now for the business, or what's your business approach?
Big picture, really just supporting and developing the team. Our business is in a really great place in terms of the combination of, people, service offering, the clientele we have. A lot of it's just working really well. So, you know, maintaining that, making sure the team we have doing the sorts of things that they enjoy doing, that, you know, there's opportunities for them to grow and develop if that's what they want. Making sure that we continue to, you know, deliver value and practical, help to our clients and get to do it on, you know, sort of our terms. So, really that flexibility and autonomy is something we still talk about. With people joining the team, a lot of people in the team do have young families. And if you're commuting into, you know, Collins Street at 7 o'clock in the morning and coming home at 8 o'clock at night, that's not what anyone in, you know, at Rankin's wants to do. So that's something that we're really keen to hang on to.
Yeah, I really resonate with that. And I love that you went from, you know, this number goal to now just really enjoying the journey. I can feel the sense of like, let's just do a really great job along the way. And as a byproduct, I'm pretty sure the business will grow as it needs to. But at the same time, I'm sure you're going to be happier. So as we wrap up this conversation, I always love to ask that final question. Like, ultimately, what are you trying to do with your life, and what do you want to be remembered for ultimately?
Yep, sure. So two things I think are important for me. One, you know, the business legacy piece I think has been done to death, but I do, you know, want to have a great business that provides opportunities for, you know, for the team, and really does great things for our clients. That's, you know, really we're people pleasers here and love helping people, and that's what we want to you know, keep this going for. And the other one is just around my kids. You know, I've got three daughters, and I want to show them the world, and I want to make sure that introducing them to a world full of hope and promise and wonder. So, yeah, I think that's why I get out of bed.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's wonderful. I just love that you have that clarity, something to do with your family as well as with business. And I wish you all the best. So thank you so much, Rob, for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Thanks so much, Lynn. It's been terrific.